Hey there, and welcome to the Smart and Simple Matters show with your host, Joel Zeslavsky. It's been years since I visited New Zealand, and I don't think I'll make it back anytime soon. So I decided to bring an amazing representative of the Kiwis to me instead. Find out what the heck that means and why this episode is going to wow you in just a moment. This is episode number 21. Before we get into today's awesome podcast, I want to mention that Natalie did this interview from a co-working space in Berlin. The sound quality fluctuates a bit, and there's periodic background noise because of that, but it won't distract you from appreciating this. All right, now it's time to enjoy. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Smart and Simple Matters show, all you wonderful listeners. It's going to be a very groovy one because I have a very groovy woman joining me today. Her name is Natalie Sisson, and besides using fun words like groovy and fantabulous, she's notable and insightful for many reasons. Natalie loves to buck the status quo, and she's taken herself and her business on the road, skies, and boats for the past few years. Like other freedom seekers I've had on the show, Natalie travels the world looking to generate as much value for as many people as possible. And it would take me an hour to highlight all the awesome places Natalie's words, voice, and face have been featured. But for starters, she's been seen on Live Your Legend, The Huffington Post, Entrepreneur on Fire, Forbes, Brazen Careerist, and lots of other influential places. But I don't want to forget for even a moment, because once you get to her online home, suitcaseentrepreneur.com, you'll find just about everything you could ever need related to Natalie right there. And my experience with Suitcase Entrepreneur is it's more than just about owning a freedom-based business, as Natalie has a ton of lessons to teach us about what you've come to expect from Smart and Simple Matters, which is simplifying, organizing, and being money wise. So welcome, Natalie. The chance to chat with you today has lit a charge in me, and I'm revved up to have you on the show.
Wow, that was quite the introduction. I love the way people make me sound more amazing, I think. So thank you so much. I've never had an introduction like that. It's pretty cool when people give you a perspective of what they see of your online persona and what they've read. So thank you.
Sure. Well, I'll give you an opportunity to be amazing. Don't worry, I'm not putting you on the spot. It's routine for you, I know. But as we get into it, and I'm just going to give people a little bit of flavor in terms of what we might talk about, we'll start with the seeds of awesomeness and part of your foundation of life. And as much as your crazy adventures are wonderful, we're not going to be focusing on that today. We're going to be talking about your past, which is similar to mine in terms of your corporate career for 8 years. We'll talk about non-traditional stuff. We'll talk about passive income creation and minimalism and a few other things. How's all that sound to you?
It sounds wonderful.
Excellent. All right. Now, I imagine a lot of people who are first introduced to you, as I already alluded to, want to focus on your recent travels and all of your adventures. But there's a ton of places that they can already go to get that. Even though it's super fun to talk about it, it's just not going to be what we're going to focus on today. So instead, I want to start with your past and your experiences, either as a child or maybe as you were starting to get into adulthood a little bit. Is there maybe one or two experiences that you can share with us that explains how you've come to be who you are and adopt your current lifestyle?
Yes, definitely. I mean, it sounds like it's similar to you. I had 8 years corporate experience. I'm sorry for any of the mess in the background. I'm in a co-working space, part of my life. 8 years experience in the corporate world, and I definitely loved a lot of those roles. They were brilliant for serving me with a purpose and saying, you know what, this is how other people run their businesses. I get to play with other people's money. I get to see what they're doing well. I get to see what they're doing not well. So I had like 8 years in brand marketing, business development, etc. But as you probably know as well, Joel, there's like this breaking point when you're like, why am I working for other people? And more importantly, why am I working for other people who just don't value my ideas or don't let me run with them so that it can actually be of value to their company? So I kind of had this tipping point around there with that in mind.
But even before that, even before you started working in a corporation, as you were growing up, was there something about your environment? You're originally from New Zealand. Maybe an experience with a parent or at a certain time in school, something that really gives us a slice of how you came to be the person that you are right now.
Do you know, I would love to say that there was, because if I look back at my family, there's, you know, none of them have actually come from an entrepreneurial background. My father, when he retired, finally opened his secondhand car sales yard. I don't know why he wanted to do that, but he loved cars and he loved people. So I guess I get a little bit of that hustle from him. But if I really look back at myself, I've never liked authority. I've always bucked authority. Even though I was like a great student, I was, you know, a good student in school, I got on well with the teachers, but I always seemed to kind of just cut straight to that top level of talking to teachers and getting to the hardcore message of it rather than doing what everybody else did. And New Zealand is such a beautiful country. The people are so friendly. It's like one of the best places to grow up in and also come from. But they do have this thing called the tall poppy syndrome, which you might have heard of, which is if you imagine a field of poppies and there's one poppy that's sticking out above the rest, we have this tendency to want to chop that poppy off because you shouldn't stand out from the rest, or you shouldn't be mega successful, and you certainly shouldn't talk about it in that way. And that always grated on me, which is why I left New Zealand, because I do like the American ambition for all the good things and bad things that come with it. I like the hustle. I like that people are taking opportunities and taking risks and starting new companies and tapping into opportunities that are there. So I think, I don't know, that's just an inherent thing that most people who have met me would just know has been there since a kid, this inability to deal with authority and this kind of adventurous streak.
Yeah. I've only somewhat recently started to rebel against authority and the status quo. Feels pretty good most of the time. And I know what you mean about standing out, both physically and when it comes to emotionally and mentally. It's just something that a lot of cultures... I'm from the Midwest of the U.S., Minnesota specifically, and it's not really appropriate to have some bombast and to be loud and to... You just kind of be a little bit wild, and I have those tendencies now, and people look at me a little bit funny. So I think I understand a little bit what you're talking about. I just want to say, though, congrats on figuring out earlier than me, both with the corporate job. You were there for 8 years. I was there for a decade, so way to do it 2 years earlier than I did. Was there an initial spark, though, that made you think this whole corporate work thing, maybe there's something better for me? Maybe I could... do something else to add more value to the world?
Yeah, I'd say that there was one definitive moment, which I'll come to in just a moment. But I really, if I'd looked back over my path during my career, I probably should have spotted it sooner that I was meant to be doing my own thing. Because what I tended to do was get into a higher level job than I could handle, master it as quickly as I could, take on lots of responsibilities. I just loved learning. And then I'd quit when I got bored if there wasn't any opportunity to grow. So I kind of would get into a job, quit, travel, get into a job, quit, travel. And the longest job that I held down was not even 2 years. So I maybe should have looked at my path a little more. The defining moment where I was like, enough is enough, was when I was in London. I was working for a pretty big medical association, part trade union, and it was just an old boys club. They were very archaic in their way they worked, very traditional, typical 9 to 5, like 5 o'clock on the dot, people had disappeared from the building. Very much tell you what to do, not take initiative and be proactive. Just loads of red tape to get through. And, you know, I was brought in to actually create business development products for doctors, to help train doctors to become better at business so that they could take advantage of the healthcare system opportunities. And I got blocked internally at every point. That's what it felt like to me. It was like they brought me in to do a job and then they turned around and blocked me from doing that. So that really just, honestly, it pissed me off. I'm sorry if I'm allowed to swear on this podcast, but I was like, why? Why would you do that? So that was the bit that tipped me over. And I just got a pay rise. I got a great review. I'd co-invested in a property in London and all my friends thought I was crazy. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go to Vancouver, Canada, play in the World Ultimate Frisbee Champs and just see if I can start my own business. I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm just going to, I need to get out of this. So that was that was 2008 in June.
Yeah, it's never a bad idea to play Ultimate Frisbee or to go to Vancouver. To combine those two things is great, too. You know, it's wonderful now that you are a suitcase entrepreneur. You have this freedom business, and you've already talked about all of your travels and the cycle that you went through, getting a job and getting bored and then going somewhere else. Do you consider yourself a minimalist, though, by choice, or maybe even a minimalist by necessity because you travel the world so much and that you need to pick up and leave all the time?
That's a really good question. I've never been a hoarder of things. I've always been quite, I guess, minimal in terms of the belongings that I had in my life. And because I loved traveling, you know, you get pretty good at packing light and not needing much stuff. And then on my travels in 2006, I obviously moved to London and to Vancouver. I just kind of kept getting rid of stuff. I became quite good at not collecting things and living with very little. And it makes you feel really free. I'm sure you've had tons of people say this on your podcast, but there's something about the load being lightened with the less stuff that you have. And you also appreciate the things that you do have. And then you look around at other people and you wonder why they have so much stuff. So I wouldn't say I was initially a minimalist, but I've never been somebody who buys things all the time. I find it quite wasteful. I prefer to spend money on experiences rather than stuff. And now that I'm a suitcase entrepreneur, I mean, literally, I normally just have one suitcase and it's not even that big, and that's my life. Right now I'm in Berlin and unfortunately I have a few bags of stuff, which is a little bit stressful for me because I stored some things in London and I finally took them out of my property and decided to collect everything, and then I'm going to get rid of it now that I'm here. But yeah, I've become pretty good at not having much stuff.
Do you apply that not having a lot of stuff mindset? I mean, most people think of it in terms of physically, what do you carry around with you or what do you have in your living space? But it sounds like you apply that, and again, these are my words, not yours. You know, I'm talking about minimalism and being very intentional about what you let into your life, whether it's with relationships or other things. Do you apply that mindset that you're just talking about to your emotional or mental or spiritual journey through the world too?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I was going to come on to that, so I'm so glad you prompted me. Yes, I think in my book that I'm writing, I talk about the fact that it's a physical and a mental thing. So for me, very much so. I don't tend to carry baggage around. I feel I've lived an amazing life. I'm very grateful for it. And on top of that, I think I do in terms of relationships. When I meet people on the road and I network with them, I'm always, you know, carrying their memories in my head, but I don't necessarily tend to hang on and get upset if I have to leave and leave them behind, because I know there's going to be more people that I can meet, more things that I'm going on to. And the same also applies kind of, I guess, in how I approach business. I'm very much the minimum viable product when I'm producing something. I don't try to get too hung up in everything I'm doing. I just focus on the outcome that I'd like. So I think that probably comes across in almost everything that I do. And yeah, I think you start developing that mindset. I'm very much an adventurous spirit and very independent and kind of go through life with that. You know, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? I don't tend to dwell in the past too much.
Can you tell us a little bit more about your book, though, that's upcoming? I know you're going to be releasing it sometime soon. What's the major theme, or what's the overall vibe of this?
The overall vibe is that I believe that anybody can choose to have a life of freedom and adventure, and that's what I want to help more people achieve. So I know there's lots of location-independent people out there. I know there's lots of people with great businesses, but what I find is that people tend to talk about it, but they don't necessarily walk the talk. So I very much feel that you can have a successful business and a great lifestyle. And I see too many people working, I think, too hard on the wrong things. And even when they're supposedly location independent, they might be sitting on a beach, but they're working like 70 hours weeks tied to their laptop. So I'm very much about building freedom in business and adventure in life. And that's what I want to come across in the book, that it's kind of not a choice either or. You should be able to get the whole thing. I honestly think you can love your work and your life, and you can combine the two and make it the most wonderful thing in the world.
Well, I'm looking forward to reading that. I'll tell you right now, and I know we'll have the opportunity to meet each other when we're both at the World Domination Summit in Portland, Oregon in July, which is your book release from what I understand. So I'll be pumped up about that. Talking about this business side, though, sometimes I don't really get an opportunity to talk to people who come on the show about the passive income side of personal finance. And I don't really explore that too much, which is too bad because it's incredibly interesting and can be incredibly powerful for a lot of people that I know, and both for what I'm trying to do for my business. So I wanted to ask you, because one of the reasons I was excited is you know a ton about generating passive income streams. And I had Pat Flynn of Smart Passive Income on, who is a lot of people's go-to inspirational source for passive income creation. But you can talk very well and very powerfully about that too, this philosophy of earning an income while you sleep. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me, do you have some kind of overall passive income philosophy? Maybe you could give us one or two examples of what passive income looks like in your business.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And you know what? I think so, I interviewed Pat on my podcast too, and I think he probably regrets a little bit titling his website as passive, because as he well knows, and Scott Dinsmore, who you spoke about earlier, it's more about residual income. I really don't believe there's anything that is completely passive. You still need to work at marketing whatever it is that you've put out there in an automated way. But it is a pretty lovely feeling to wake up in the morning and see that, you know, five or six people have bought my digital product guide or enrolled in a program. And that's a pretty special thing. And why I think it's even more special is you do the work up front, you create an amazing product or a program based around you, your knowledge, your skills, or even other people's skills, and you set it all up, you do all the right work, you promote it, you market it, and then hopefully with the value that you built in your platform, you'll continue to have people buying that for many years to come. And by then, it's great, because anything you make on top of that past your initial setup costs is all profit. And I think that's very special to be able to do when a lot of people are still in service-based businesses where every single hour counts. So, you know, they're working with a client and they bill their hours. I think I get that. I've been there. I've done that. And in some respects with my coaching, that's what I've been doing as well. But I love this aspect of, you know, create something once, make it amazing, and then have the long-term effects of being able to receive income from that while you're sleeping, as you say.
So is there one primary example that you can give us in terms of how you've done that or what kind of product you've created that implements this residual income mindset that you have?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when I started out, so here's actually my path of how I created my first product. I was in Vancouver. I'd built up a pretty decent network who understood that I had some decent social media skills, given that I'd co-founded a technology company on Facebook. And so I ran three workshops, physical workshops, where I taught a social media bootcamp. And they were a bit of a sellout. I tapped into some government funding. So for entrepreneurs, it was almost free. So I made lots of money. They got to come along. And during those workshops, I got to tweak the content that I'd created for the workshops until it was excellent. So, you know, I answered all their questions. They said they didn't understand this bit or that bit, and so I made it better. And then I took those PowerPoints that I did during that workshop and I turned them into an online program. I basically recorded via a screen me talking to those PowerPoints, showing examples, etc. So it turned into this, it was a massive amount of time. I think I did 20 hours worth of videos and editing. But essentially, I just took that content and I repurposed it into an online program.
Sure.
I ran a webinar, my first ever webinar. It was hilarious, actually, Joel, because I lost my voice the night before. I got like a cold. And so on the morning of my webinar, I woke up like husky, like, hi. But, you know, 30 people registered, and I think maybe 15 actually turned up, and I made one sale. And the product was around $297, I think. And I was like, wow, one sale, like, I'm off. I'm running. I mean, which wasn't even very successful. But to me, it was like, oh, this stuff works. Like, this is, you provide a solution to people's needs, and they will pay you for it. And depending on the format that you put it out in, their digital or physical products. So that was a big eye-opener for me. And then I went on to update that program. I marketed it better on my blog. I made more sales. I launched it with a proper video series. And all of this was progressive. So I didn't just start off and have it right. I learned along the way about online marketing, about launch sequences, about product marketing, and applied my own background in marketing. And just every time got a little bit smarter and more professional about it. So that's one sort of simple example of what I did. And yes, there was a lot of effort that went in there, but the payoff was decent. And then I also ran a blog series on my blog on building an online business. I did 12 posts over the period of around 2 months, and they got an incredible response because they were directly talking about how to build your online business. And then I took that blog series and I put it into an ebook. And of course, I made the ebook a bit better. I added a bit more content. I added some templates, some resources. But basically, I took the same content on my blog, packaged it into an ebook, and sold it for like $37. And it's still my bestseller today, the Build Your Online Business book. Now, people can technically go and find that on the blog. but they prefer to pay for it because it's in a collected, beautiful looking book that's just easy for them to take away and digest. And that's what I think is just incredible about this opportunity, is that if you can package your content and your knowledge into a digital format that people really enjoy, then you can just multi-purpose that across so many different ways: podcasts, videos, digital programs, ebooks, tele-seminars, interviews. You know, it's like the world is your oyster.
That's all those things that you just mentioned. There's some great resources. You have my mind running a little bit fast here. I'll have to slow it down for a moment to make sure that I'm not getting, like I said, I'm a little bit fired up today, so I need to reel it back a little bit. But the Build Your Business book that you talked about and everything else that we'll talk about today, those will be in the show notes, which will be at valueofsimple.com/SASM021. And that's great. I mean, I love talking to people about this kind of stuff. And when I talk personal finance, it's normally about the really unsexy stuff, the daily money management and investing. At least I like to make investing as unsexy as possible because there's way too much emotion that goes into money in the first place. But it's really nice to be able to get your insight on the residual income side as you talk about it too, because saving money is wonderful, but making money or investing money, these are all things that you can do, whether it's investing literally or at least traditionally in the stock market or other things, or investing in you and your business and your skills. Those are all great things to do. Are you ready to transition for something just a little bit different though?
Let's do it.
Okay. Now, I would think with all the amazing experiences that you create, they need to be carefully curated to preserve that rich context. And since you're on the road and on planes so much, it needs to be accessed wherever you are. And I mentioned that because I noticed that you were featured on the Evernote blog. And it sounds like you use Evernote for pretty much everything. So is Evernote some way that you curate your existence? Do you have some kind of a system besides or in addition to Evernote to filter through all those experiences and to be able to archive and organize and share the best ones?
You know, I would love to say that I'm an absolute whiz on Evernote, and I wrote that blog post with my experiences and a couple of other entrepreneurs who used it. So I've become far more prolific at using it in the last 6 or so months, specifically a lot for my book. So each time I'm on a website and I want to clip an article that I'm reading about, or I want to reference it in my book, I will clip it, tag it, and put it into my TSE notebook, the Suitcase Entrepreneur notebook for my book. I also run a social media club each month, and whenever I'm reading online or looking at articles that are relevant, I will clip them so that I can come back to that one central place when it comes time to do my coaching call and reference all of those articles and put them into my presentation. And also I'm curating content right now to do a monthly kind of best of the web, where I want to link back to some really great articles, videos, podcasts, etc., where I'm highlighting other people's great work. And so that's what I'm using Evernote for that respect as well. So, yeah, I do think it's an excellent tool. I love that you can share it with your team, that you can tag things, that you can clip, that it's on your mobile as well, and also on the website. So it's a very, very handy tool for organizing your thoughts.
Yeah, I use spreadsheets instead of Evernote's great. I actually use Evernote from time to time too. If I'm walking the dogs and I have some, well, at least what I think at that time is a profound thought. It doesn't happen frequently. So when it happens, I get out my smartphone and open up Evernote and record something really quick to make sure that I capture that and that I don't lose it. It sounds like you use it for a little bit more. And I know a lot of people, you're talking about curating content and using content creation as a marketing strategy, as a value generating strategy. I've seen a lot of people do that really well. And that best of the web that you're talking about is really great to see somebody that you know and trust and respect and what interests them and the best of what they have encountered, and then having them share that with you. I thought about starting a series like that on Value of Simple, and I'll probably get around to it too. But it's cool to hear that you integrate curating in one way or another into your life and into your business.
Definitely. And it's a newer thing for me. I used to do top 20 people to follow on Twitter because I love it as a tool. And they'd go down really well. But I've seen other people do some great things where I just get to their page and I'm like, wow, I want to bookmark that because there's so many great articles that they're referring to. So if you can be, as you say, the curator, the source of that value, then that just helps everybody else that comes to your site. And also it's a great way to shout out to people and show them that you're reading their content and absorbing it So yeah, I think it's a win-win.
All very true. Well, you are rather prolific in your content creation as well. And I wanted to ask you a little bit about your podcast because you're already on episode either 45 or 46, and you've been doing this for a while. And I've only started recently listening in the past few months. There was one episode in particular, though, that the folks who are listening to this show will be really interested in. It was with Joshua Becker of Becoming Minimalist. And I'm really excited. I'm going to be recording an episode of Smart and Simple Matters with Joshua sometime soon as well. But you recently had that episode with Joshua Becker, and it was a great episode on top of a great overall podcast. And as far as the simplicity enthusiasts and the minimalism folks like myself go, they would really enjoy that one. But the thing that really got to me, we're talking about some of the themes in your life and in your business. It seemed like he wasn't cut from the same cloth as the rest of the folks who you normally have on your show, which are equally entertaining and insightful and valuable. Why did you think to bring a minimalist like Joshua onto your podcast?
Yeah, it's a great question, actually. I had put together a program, once again, from the World Domination Summit using this $100 that Chris Guillebeau gave every attendee, and I called it the $100 Change Program. And for that, I wanted to get insight and inspiration and wisdom from a variety of people that I thought were credible, either entrepreneurs or creatives or artists or just people doing and making an impact in the world. And he came across my radar. I hadn't actually been a reader of his blog before then or had seen his book. And I just really dug his style. And then I was like, you know what? I'm always bringing people on here who are lifestyle related, travel related, or business related. But I don't often talk to people who are kind of living a philosophy of how they want to do life. And since it was so close to like how I view minimalism, I thought he'd be a great guest. And it was really fascinating, you know, because he has such an amazing background and story and being a reverend and all. And I don't know, it was just a totally different episode, wasn't it? I really enjoyed talking to him. He has a very calming influence. But I still think it was relevant for my community because I want to expand their thoughts and their minds as to what's possible.
Yeah, and it's wonderful to have a change of pace, whether you're introducing somebody that is atypical to what people expect or just giving someone the opportunity to, as you said, share your story. You know, it's wonderful that you're sharing your story and your insight with us here too. And you might not be, if people have an idea of who might normally come on Smart and Simple Matters, it might not be somebody like you, but already the things that we've talked about and having you share your experiences with us, I mean, it's incredibly relevant and it's wonderful to have somebody just a little bit different to not just online or on a podcast, but in life. At least I found to mix it up and to go engage people who maybe at least on the surface level don't seem too much like the kind of folks you interact with. But upon talking to them, you realize that we're all human. We're all peers, and 99% of what we think and do is pretty much the same. It's just the way that we express it that looks a little bit different.
Yeah, I'll agree to disagree with you to a point there. I'd maybe say 95% of what we do. I do find there are some people out there who just do not get what I do in particular, and just can't fathom that somebody would want to live out of a suitcase and do all these things. So I kind of like meeting those people because they're so on a different tangent to me. And so we get to talk about our different worlds. And you can learn a lot from those people as well.
Well, 95% or 99%, I'm not a statistician, but that...
You do like spreadsheets, so I figured...
That's true, but for the most part, I don't use them for formulas. I just use them for sorting and organizing. Spreadsheets are not for accountants. They are for everybody, and they are awesome. Okay, yeah. I'll stop on my spreadsheet tangent here. But we're talking about... Sorry, what's that?
Should get Microsoft Excel to sponsor you unless you use Office or something. But either way,
I use Excel. I've tried Google Docs and other programs, and Excel is just where it's at. I don't think they're going to be sponsoring me anytime soon. I won't be pitching them for that, at least. You were talking about different people and the kinds of different folks that we meet and going out there and engaging people who seem or look or say different things than you do. And I have a buddy of mine who I met through Toastmasters, which is a public speaking and presentation and leadership club that's international. He's an 87-year-old guy named Sal, and he's convinced, and I wanted to get your take on this because you and I are both about the why of life. You know, everything revolves around why. And then you figure out how and what and where and when. But the central part of life is figuring out, why do I want to do this? Why should I do this? Why could I do this? Why would this be useful to all these other folks? And my buddy Sal is convinced, he's an odd duck and I love him for it, that it's not about why we do everything. He wants to figure out what we want to be and then go about making that happen. And he keeps telling me that all this time figuring out your why wastes the time that you have to take positive change in your own life. So can you tell us, or maybe let's say you were having a conversation with my buddy Sal, how would you try to convince him that we should focus on the why of our existence and then let the how and the what radiate from this central point?
Ooh, I love this question. And for those people who are listening, and I'm sure you've read it, I love Simon Sinek, Start With Why.
Yeah.
So brilliant. And it really changed my way of thinking. I read it in January this year when I was on a disconnect and just off on the beach and reading and disconnecting offline. And I also watched his TED talk last year. And I think it's critically important because it's not how you do it, it's not what you do, it's why you do it. And if I really look at my path and how far I've come, I guess, in the last few years, it's all been when I got really clear on why I'm doing what I'm doing. Because up until then, I was really still figuring out what the heck am I doing? And once I put it down to what is my purpose, what impact do I want to leave, what legacy, I should say, how many people do I want to help and for what reason, everything just became crystal clear. And on the days when you're feeling like, I can't keep going on, you know, for the fearful days as an entrepreneur or even if you're in a side hustle or even in your own job, it's those days when you need to come back to the why the heck am I doing what I'm doing? And it suddenly becomes not about you. And then that makes everything so much more apparent because you're focusing on the longer term goals. Who can you reach? Who can you impact? Who can you help? When you're focused on the what and the how, I think it starts to get into your brain and you focus on the wrong things. I don't know if that's giving a good enough answer, but I just think it's really important to come back to why you've been put on earth and what your special gifts are, your talents. Even when you think you're not an expert, you are an expert in something. You're an expert to somebody else about something that they have less knowledge than you, and that's really important. And then you've got to do justice to that and put it out there so people can access that knowledge, that skill that you have. And that's where purpose comes in.
So are you saying that being or identifying, refining the why of everything that you do makes you more selfless, maybe makes you more mindful? Did I hear that right?
Yes, I think it definitely does. And once you know it, like once you're solid and clear on it, it drives everything else that you do. And that is very powerful. So all your decisions that you make, the priorities that you put in your life, the people that you surround yourself with, comes down to your why. Sorry, a whole bunch of people have just arrived where I am. And I think that is one of the most powerful things that you can have in your life. And so many people miss that. That's why I think people are also still stuck in, and this might be a selfish answer, but still stuck in 9 to 5 because they're banking on the secure check every month, the health benefits, the insurance, the place to go to work, you know, like they're banking on security. Now, if they knew that their skills in another area could be making a huge impact on thousands of people, maybe the money wouldn't be apparent at first. Maybe there'd be no insurance. Maybe there'd be no roof over their head. Maybe they wouldn't have an office or people to just kind of go in and do the work. But they'd be creating such an impact that people would be coming up to them and saying, wow, thank you so much. You changed my life. That I would choose any day over being in a formulaic routine environment. So that's when you know what you're focused on, the right things, in my mind, because you will be getting up each morning like you are today and going, I'm feeling juiced. What am I working on today? And how is that going to help people?
Yeah. Well, I get to talk to wonderful people like you. I get to enjoy the life. It's finally spring. It's going to be 65 degrees Fahrenheit, at least here in the Twin Cities. The last of the snow just melted. You're right. It's a lot of fun waking up every morning, regardless of how much money you're making, knowing that you're making an impact on a number of people outside of your local region, anyone who speaks English. can get a lot of value from you or from me by going to our websites, by listening to our podcasts. That's a very, very cool thing. And it's not lost on me every morning when I wake up and I feel grateful for it. It gives me the opportunity to reflect. And I was maybe putting words in your mouth and I was talking about being mindful, but as I'm looking outside and I'm seeing nature and the fact that I love to be outside in nature so much, kind of like you, maybe this is a good way. And I like to allow people who come on the show to have a little bit of fun as well and talk about something that's not so either businessy or serious or deep or philosophical. You, from what I understand, you love competing in nature, like in netball and sailing, and you mentioned ultimate frisbee and tennis and even motocross racing. Is that true?
Yes. Yep, I used to do motocross.
What is it about the competition, or what is it about being outside that just does it for you?
So many things. I think competition is a good thing, and I don't think people should shy away from it. I think it pushes you outside your boundaries. It shows you what you're capable of doing when you've already limited yourself in some way. It bests you, like it puts you up against people who are better than you, and I don't think that's such a bad thing, so long as you don't beat yourself up about not performing as well. It makes you rise to a performance, one of your best performances you've ever done, and then I think that also applies to the rest of what you do in life. I know when I'm competing at tournaments, world championships, and ultimate frisbee, which other people may not know about, but for me, we put a lot of effort into it. It's a huge community. Then I tend to do better in business and also in life. I tend to kind of take that motivation and that discipline and that ambition, and I cross it over into other things. So I think nature, the great outdoors, and sport is a wonderful thing to grow you as a person, and then be able to like put that into every other area of your life. Apologies for that loud bang.
Oh, so hey, you're in a co-working space. You're in Berlin, and it's unpredictable, just like life. It's all good. You're talking about the competition, but you also like helping bake a bigger pie, making sure that it's not a zero-sum game and that there's abundance for everyone. And I wanted to give you an opportunity. I hear that you have this cool program coming up. It's April. It's late April as we're recording this, and you have this, I don't know if it's WE or WE Mastermind program. Would you mind talking a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. You just made me hungry when you said baking a big pie. I like it. They've got great cakes here in Berlin. So.
Delicious.
WE Mastermind. Yep, you're right. It actually stands for Women Entrepreneurs Mastermind, but we've had men on it. It's a three-month online digital program to get you from zero to launch. So one of my biggest bugbears in life is that people get stuck in paralysis by analysis, or they think they don't have enough knowledge around an area, and so they end up doing nothing, which is really frustrating because life is short. So our program is all about actually giving you the video training and the coaching and a mastermind group to get you to the other end and hopefully launch a profitable product or service during the time of the program. And why I think I love it so much, it's our third year running it. It's got bigger each year, but we still keep it quite exclusive because we want to be able to coach people on these group calls and actually get to their questions. But what I think is amazing about it is, hands down, more than any of the training and the areas that we cover in the 12 modules, it's the community. And you probably know this as well, you know, through your podcast, through your blog. It's the community, and these women and men are networking. They're freaking doing business with each other now. They're meeting up in person. The mastermind groups, the accountability, it's just incredible. Like, that's the thing that drives it through. So I love it as a program. I love being able to scale my coaching and do it to more people. I do it with another lady also called Natalie, so we're Natalie Squared, which makes me laugh. And we both have totally different business backgrounds. She has an incorporated company in Canada. She's in the media industry. She deals with six-figure clients on big documentaries. She has an incredible blog, and she's gone through investor rounds and all this other stuff. And I'm very much online, digital learning, online marketing. And we just have such different skill sets that it complements really well. So I'm excited about it. It's also my biggest launch of the year. This one is not residual. You know, there's a lot of effort that goes into it. We've been planning it for 6 months. The program takes 3 months. But I love the results that we get. And it's a big part of my world. So I'm really honored to be able to do it. And yeah, it starts in May.
All right. Well, I will second the power of masterminds. I'm in one. I started it last year, and these four other people Shanna and Ethan and Aaron and Sarah, they are my more than just my board of directors for my business. I mean, they're there to support me in lots of different ways, both business and personal, and make me accountable. It's made a huge, huge difference in my positivity, in my productivity, and in a lot of different things, and my ability to launch things, to go quickly, and to get these people who are very invested in me and my success to have their attention and to all be helping each other. It's a wonderful thing. I want to ask you one more thing, though. Is there anything that we didn't talk about that you'd like people to know?
Oh, well, geez, so many great things. No, I think, we could go on and on. I could talk for hours with you, these great questions. But I think just one of my biggest things I'd love to get through to anybody listening, if they are interested in this, is please just start. Like, my favorite guru in life is Yoda. There is no try. There is only do or do not. Like, honestly, just get going. If there's anything holding you back, just make a start. It's all about baby steps. It's all about believing in yourself and just making progress each and every day. And so I just really want people to step up and own it and be their best self. That's all I want for people in life. So hopefully listening to Joel here and getting inspiration from this is going to help you guys to do that.
Well, some folks should check you out. So where can we find you online if people want to know more and learn more and get tons of value from what you have to offer?
They can come to suitcaseentrepreneur.com. If they can spell entrepreneur, awesome. If there's a misspelling, I'm sure you'll still find me. And I have all my Twitter links, my Facebook page there, my video, my podcast. I'd love for you to leave a comment, read some of the blog posts, join the community.
Awesome. Well, I am now a regular at Suitcase Entrepreneur, and I've been very happy about that. So, Natalie, I just want to say thank you a ton for coming on the show today. It's been fun. It's been insightful, and I have a feeling that there are going to be a lot of people who put down their headphones or stop listening to this now that are about to spring into action. So thanks again.
Thank you so much.
You know, having Natalie on the show today and talking about all these great online tools to complete some massive goals is getting me motivated to help you with some of your biggest goals. If any of them happen to be digital in nature, like launching a product, service, website, platform, or whatever, you should discover the potential of the Digital Launch Playbook. It's a product from the Value of Simple Labs that converts every facet of a digital launch into one simple, squeaky, clean spreadsheet. Whether you're an online novice or pro, it doesn't matter. You could have over 200 steps with best practices from me and really, really smart people for most of these steps and a complete game plan to slice and dice your digital project into concise and an enjoyable experience. You can find details about the Digital Launch Playbook and my other products, like the online investing course Start Investing with $100, at the Value of Simple store. Head on over to valueofsimple.com/store and take a look at how I can help you liberate your time, money, and talent even more. And also, this doesn't go without saying, but I'd be grateful if you left a quick review of this episode of Smart and Simple Matters or the show as a whole on iTunes. It's a tremendous help, and there aren't too many better, faster actions you could take to help spread the mission of Smart and Simple Matters than an iTunes review. If you thought about getting around to it for a while and just haven't done it yet, do it today. It will bring a smile to my face. And instructions for doing that will be in the show notes, found at valueofsimple.com/SASM021 or by going to valueofsimple.com/iTunes. It's now time for your partner in simplifying to sign off again. You've just listened to the Smart and Simple Matters podcast with Joel Zaslavsky, creator of all things Value of Simple.